Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and I hope you're ready for some great home improvement information and to have a little fun while we share that with you. We do it every week right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you're with us. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us. Yes, Danny, here we are wrapping up the month of June, right in the middle of summer, so I suspect a lot of people are going to be working on outdoor projects. We can tell that by the calls and the many emails we've been getting over the last week or two. So if you have a home improvement question, whether it's the inside or the outside of your house, get in touch with us. We'll see if we can help you out today.
And we make it really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can just pick up the phone, 800-946-4420, or you can send us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask. We also get a lot of inquiries and engagement on our Facebook page, the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. We'd love for you to be a part of that, and we're posting good, fresh information there every single day, several times a day. We also are getting tremendous response on the Today's Homeowner newsletter that comes out every single Thursday morning to give you some inspiration for the weekend and some ideas and some guidance on some of the things that you may want to tackle around your house and some ways that you can really get it done the right way as well as economically. All you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com and sign up for our newsletter today. And Joe, I'll tell you, we got started back. You know, everybody's looking for a little normal way of life and everything.
Right.
And I'll tell you, nothing's more normal for me than to get out there and start taping some more shows. So we taped, got started last week on that, and then we hit the road next week to headed up to West Virginia to do another show, and then we'll be going out to LA in a couple of weeks for another show. So man, I'm back in the saddle right now.
Yeah, I could tell you guys are back shooting, because I tried to get a hold of Scott, who directs the Simple Solution segments that I videotape for the TV show, because we're trying to reschedule. We had to postpone our shoot, so we're going back down to Mobile to shoot those. And I didn't hear from Scott for a whole week, and I got a little worried. I was going to call his wife, but I understood he was out shooting all week and just couldn't get to the phone. So I'm glad you guys are back behind the camera.
Actually, really tough week, because we had rain chances, high percentage of rain chance single day. And, of course, it was 90-plus degrees and 98% humidity. So, yeah, that was a perfect weather for deck building, I'll tell you. And but you know what?
If you really
do the right thing on some of the things, you know, work in the shade as much as you can. Of course, we have a couple tents we were able to put up. Everybody drinking plenty of water and keeping fueled up on that. And I'll tell you, those cloths that you can put in your ice chest, or just wet them and put them around your neck, you know, that really does help. And not only does it help, keep you cool, it also is something, you know, kind of keep the sun from burning your neck. And I don't know, I just like to have kind of a scarf like that, like a cowboy carpenter.
Danny the cowboy. are those are the things that have like little pellets of some sort in them? Is that what you're talking about? Have you seen them? And you soak them and then you put them in the cooler, right?
Yeah, exactly. And when you first put it on, after it comes out of the cooler, it doesn't take long before it really does provide some relief. But we've been getting so many, and it only makes sense, we've gotten so many emails and calls and Facebook posts about decks and people in different stages of either building a deck, and quite often they're trying to refurbish their deck. Actually, Chelsea right now is stripping all of the finish. What a job. All of the finish off of
her. That's a tough job.
At least it's a fairly small deck, but she always has a great positive attitude on things, and what she's doing, she's just saying, hey, I'm doing 5 boards a day. You know, just 5 boards, I'm stripping them down. And, you know, Joe, we've talked a lot about we don't like to recommend some of the real caustic type of chemicals that are out there for stripping if there's another way for you to get the job done. And she's using the citrus stripper that used on some furniture refinishing. And she says it is really working extremely well and not as aggressive, you know?
Right, yeah, and it's pretty safe to use around plants and pets and kids and everything else, because it's called citrus strip or citrus something, depending on the manufacturer, because it contains some kind of citrus acid, which I guess they get from oranges or lemons or limes or whatever. And it's quite powerful in that formulation as far as cutting through a finish and helping you get down. And you and follow the directions because you do have to be pretty patient with a lot of these. That's the one downside of not using caustic chemicals is the chemicals work really quickly. Where this stuff takes a little longer, but is much safer. So just follow the directions. Don't rush it. And it usually works pretty well.
But if you're, you know, looking out at your deck and you're not real proud of how it looks, there's so many ways that you can improve it. Certainly, pressure washing carefully. And yep. What do you think about the circular type of attachments for pressure washers? I see a lot of people using those. You used to, these things were about 2 foot in diameter. Now I notice that a lot of them for decks have gotten down to, you know, 15 or 16 inches round, and you just hook that hose to it, hook the pressure washer up to it. But what I like about it is you're getting consistent pressure on those boards versus taking a pressure washer and, you know, you might be 12 inches away, the 16 inches away, right. Then 5 inches away. You're going to damage that deck without even realizing it. But I love that little attachment. I notice they're gotten very reasonable.
Yeah, I'm not sure how effective they are, but you're right. That's the best thing is that it holds the water consistent, the spray nozzles, a consistent distance above the deck, so you're not too far away or too close. In fact, I showed a simple solution probably last summer, maybe the summer before. It's been a while. How to make a little wheeled caddy that you screw to the end. It looked kind of goofy, but it worked great. It was just a couple of wheels and a little bent piece of I think PVC. We just clamped to the wand of our of the sprayer of the pressure washer, and then you can just roll it back and forth. You can almost do it with your eyes closed. But now pressure washer will only remove so much of a finish, and ordinarily it just cleans it. It doesn't really remove a finish. And we had been getting some calls and emails about people who had either painted their deck, which neither Danny or I really recommend, or they put on a solid color stain, which again is a little too close to a paint, and sometimes you have problems with it. So how do you get paint off a deck? Well, you could rent a big old sander, but I found a tool, Danny, that works really great, and it attaches to an angle grinder. And if you don't have an angle grinder, you can rent one. Probably you could get one for $10 a day to rent one. It's called a Dyma brush. That's D-I-A-M-A brush. I guess it's kind of like from diamond.
Right.
Because it has, on the underside, it has diamond grits on the abrasive part of this circular attachment. You basically just bolt it onto your angle grinder, and it cuts through about as quick as anything I've ever seen. And whether it's a small deck or a large deck, it won't matter because it cuts so quickly, and it grinds right down to the bare wood. Then at that point, you know, you can go to what Danny and I would probably recommend, which would be a semi-transparent stain or a clear wood preserved if you don't want to leave it, you know, bare.
Right, right, exactly. You know, on this deck that we built, actually I had heard of KDAT lumber or kill dried lumber, which basically, KDAT stands for killed dried after treatment. So
after
the pressure treatment, you know how we talk a lot of times when you build a deck or you, maybe you're wanting to build a fence out of treated wood and maybe stain it, you have to wait a while. You have to wait for the sun to kind of pull a lot of that moisture out of there so that the paint will absorb into the pores of the wood. Well, with killed dried, you don't have to do that. You can stain it immediately. So as soon as we put this down, first of all, the quality of wood was incredible. I mean, almost no knots. I mean, this was amazing lumber that we got. And then we put everything down with screws and a really good coated screws, and then turn it over to the homeowners, as we often do on the painting, and let them paint or stain kind of overnight almost, so that it's ready to go the next day. And man, it turned out so nice. And we built stairs, and then we used the cable rail system.
Every
3 inches, that stainless steel, and took a little time to put that in, but man, is that ever a great look. And you know, it doesn't block your view when you have a nice view in the backyard. I really love that whole system. I can't wait for everybody to see that particular episode.
Yeah, if you've not seen the cable rail system, they're pretty slick. You see wooden, typically wooden or PVC posts, vertical posts, but in between the posts and under the handrail, you just see really thin cable, maybe a quarter inch diameter. And the trick, Danny, is, as you now know, is when you're running it through the post and you get to wherever the end is, make sure it's just long enough that you can tighten up that little like turnbuckle thing, because you want those really taut.
That's right.
And the whole idea is you don't want them spreading apart so some little kid could get an arm, a leg, or God forbid, a head stuck in between.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a cool way of going. But if you're tackling that deck, we would encourage you to head by todayshomeowner.com and just put in our little search engine there, deck refinishing or staining deck or any of those terms
or
like
Cowboy
that.
Cowboy Danny builds a deck.
Cowboy Danny builds a deck. You can do that. And you'll be able to get all the information you need to make sure that you do it right and you don't have to do it so often. Hey, we're just getting started here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to be talking about different flooring issues. We're going to be talking about battling mildew like we do almost every week. Also, we have a few folks that are having some problems with some brick separation. Is it a serious problem when you see brick starting to pull away from a window or a door? And can it be fixed? And of course, like we do each and every hour, we have another great simple solution for you. All that and a whole lot more that we're going to share with you right here, right now. You're at the right place to get the information you need to have the best looking house on the block. Hey, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're about to have some fun.
The Home Depot is cooking up new ways to start summer here and bring summer home. From online ordering to free delivery and convenient store pickup, we're helping make sure taking care of your summer projects is a breeze. And summer savings on all your favorite brands make things even easier. So freshen up the deck, fire up the grill. Summer's here, and it's as close as your own backyard. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done, and by Newtone.
And welcome back to the show. I certainly hope everything's going well around your house. And if you're tackling a project today, I hope it's going well. If not, you know what to do. Give us a call and we're glad to help you, help kind of guide you through any of the obstacles you might be having. You know, one of the things we love to point out is one of our stations that carry the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Over 300 stations are working together with us to spread the good gospel of home improvement, including WKAL AM 1450 in Rome, New York.
I've been up to Rome, New York. It's located in central New York State. It's about 40 miles or so east of Syracuse. And this I thought was interesting, Danny. It was founded along an ancient Native American portage path between the Mohawk River, which flows east to the Hudson River, and Wood Creek, which flows west to Lake Ontario. And that was important because that short little portage path was the only overland section of water trade route stretching more than 1,000 miles connecting Canada and New York City. Wow. So without that little path, in which became Rome, New York, you know, they could only go so far. They used to pick up the canoes and boats, put them on a trailer or something, and portage across that short bit of land, about 3 or 4 miles, and put it back. So that connected trading between Canada and New York City. Isn't that amazing? I guess the rivers just didn't quite meet.
Well, and you know, that whole area of the country is amazing to me. I've traveled all over the state of New York, and I've been to music festivals up there and so forth, but there's a lot of land there. You know, you think
of
Manhattan, and you think of all of these areas that are so compressed with people, you know, all over all the boroughs of New York and so forth. And then you get out there and you drive for miles and miles of these beautiful hills and little,
right,
you know, vistas here and there. So there's a lot of room for growth there. I don't know why they all crammed on Manhattan Island there. They have plenty of room to spread out there. So.
Looking for the jobs, I guess, like every place else.
But a special hello to everybody in and around Rome, New York. We really appreciate you tuning in to Today's Homeowner each and every week. Right now, we'll go back to New York and check in with Leonard. Leonard, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Hello.
What can we help you with? I understand you're tackling a little bit of a cedar siding. Tell us the story.
Yeah, it's not a little bit. It's a big problem. The story is, about 20 years ago, I cleaned my deck, And after I was done cleaning my deck with this deck cleaner, I experimented a little bit on the south side of my house because the south side of the house is really, really black. And miraculously, the black came off. So I did it a couple times because it was so black and cleaned it, and it looked good. And then I stained it, and that part came out good. But the other side of the house, the stain didn't attach to the walls because it hadn't been cleaned. And so now I'm starting the whole process over, and I cleaned the north side and the south side of the house, and I've stained part of it, and it looks good. But I'm not sure if I'm doing the whole process in the correct order.
Okay. All right. Well, I would certainly look at taking it a section at a time. So many times when you're tackling an exterior project, there's a lot of square footage there. So a lot of times it's good just to take one side of the house or maybe half the house and tackle it that way. Certainly you want to get it as clean as you can. A little bit of sanding also helps. You don't have to sand, you know, it very meticulously, but maybe take a pole sander and just kind of clean it up a little bit and get all the dust off of it really helps to open up the pores of that wood. Because that's what you want. You want the pores of the wood to open up so that when you put the stain on, it will soak right in. And what type of stain have you been using, Leonard?
Well, I haven't gotten to the stain portion yet. Years ago, I used, I can't think of the name of the stain right now, but I used a white stain. I think... Gosh, it's interesting. I can't remember the name of the stain.
I see. But
was it semi-transparent, Leonard? Semi-transparent stain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like you're going at it the right route. I mean, you definitely have to, again, prep that wood well and then apply the paint. You can apply it with a lot of different ways you can apply it, whether with a sprayer or a pump-up sprayer or a roller. But the key thing is getting that big, wide 4-inch brush and back brushing it, going with the grain of the wood to really force that stain into the pores of the wood even more. Joe, do you think coming back with a clear sealer on that would help Leonard get a little more longevity out of that?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm looking at the photograph. Thanks for sending this, Leonard. It looks like it's the upper portion of the walls that are getting this mildew, and I suspect because there might be an overhanging eave or trees or something that's blocking it from the sun. And have you removed, what did you use to remove all the mildew from the side of the house?
I used, just a second, let me see what the product is. I sprayed it on with Defy Exterior Wood Stain Stripper.
Stain stripper, okay.
Right.
But not something specifically designed to remove mildew, or will it? Do you know?
No, there's still a few black miscellaneous spots, even though I applied that stripper.
Yeah. Right. Well, I would highly recommend removing anything that's black because it might be mildew. And you could do it simply by scrubbing with a bleach solution, either chlorine bleach or what I typically recommend is oxygen bleach. Mix it with 3 parts water, 1 part bleach. Be sure to wear eye protection and then just scrub it because you do want to kill that the mildew or mold, whatever it is. And you could pressure wash it, but my concern would be that cedar is very soft and you don't want to damage it. There's a product that I've had great success with called 30 Seconds Outdoor Cleaner, which also kills mildew if you want to try that. But once it's clean and as Danny recommended, maybe a little and dry, recommend a little sanding, then I would go back with just a high quality, as much as you can afford to pay for a semi-transparent stain, apply it and then back brush it, as Danny said, scrub it in kind of with a brush. And that's about the best you can hope for. But you do have to remove all the mildew, any black staining first.
Do I not need to use a brightener after I do the bleaching?
You can still use a brightener if you want to remove or try to remove whatever stain color is there. But if you're going over with the same color stain and the rest of the siding looks okay, then I would leave it. This doesn't have any clear varnish or anything on it, right? It's just stain.
Yeah, it's just stain.
Good. Then I don't.
But there are still, after all the work I've done, there's still, like I said before, there's still a few miscellaneous spots of black mold. What can I do to remove it?
That's where the bleach would come in.
Okay.
The oxygen bleach, it really does a great job in taking care of that. But it looks like you're on the right track on it. I know that's a lot of work there, Leonard, but hopefully we've helped you out a little bit here.
Yeah, you have. I'll take all that as under recommendation, and we'll see what happens.
All right, that sounds great. Well, thanks so much for being with us, and best of luck this weekend on wrapping things up.
Okay.
You take care.
Thanks.
Absolutely. All right. Well, a lot of mildew problems everywhere.
Especially this time of year, right?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to attack it. And, you know, I wonder on something like that, you know, we talk about paint additives from time to time. And Certainly I'm a big believer in the mildicide additive that you add to paint. Like I told the story before on my previous house, for 28 years, I never had to paint at all, and I only pressure washed it twice, and I painted it right. I mean, I put the primer on, and I put two coats of acrylic latex, and I put M1 mildicide additive in every single gallon of paint I used, including the primer, and that had to have been what really made it last that long, because I see people pressure washing their house because of mildew sometimes, you know, every 2 years.
Right.
And,
yeah.
So it held up really, really well.
And you can't add that mildicide after you put on the paint. So if you don't
no,
do it.
No, I know. And I wonder if you can use it in stain. I should have mentioned that to Leonard that if he's still listening, that might be able to be another, additive protectant for something like that. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. Coming up, we're going to be talking about some brick problems, some concrete problems. Maybe it's not as big a problem as it looks like. That's what we hope we'll find when we come back and exploring some other issues that you might be facing around your home. All of that and more right here on today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips. Danny and Joe will be right back. Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of. And by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment, brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. If you're a DIYer or you do a lot of woodworking, you all know that you can never have too many clamps. They're so handy for so many things that you do around your shop and your house, yet there's times when a standard C-clamp or F-style clamp just won't work well because there isn't room for the handle. That's why Bessie designed the gear clamp, the first of its kind. The gear clamp works big in small spaces to provide a unique clamping solution, because the patented gear mechanism allows the clamping handle to be outside the work area for greater clearance in those real cramped locations. The gearbox is fully enclosed to keep out dust and debris, and a quick release shift button makes setup fast and easy. Plus, the ergonomic handle allows you to easily apply up to 450 pounds of nominal clamping force. So if you want some more information on this Bessie 12-inch gear clamp, log on to homedepot.com. And that's certainly a true statement there, Joe. You can never have too many clamps. I just bought four clamps long clamps that I was planning on using for my shutters. Ended up, we built a little rig that we didn't need it. And so I said, okay, well, should I take these things back? Well, since then, I bet I've used it for 20 different things, you know, on clamping this and clamping that. And so, you can't have too many clamps. And I always think about, you know, if you have someone that's, a friend or father, uncle, whatever, that does a lot of woodworking or is handy around this, here's another great gift for someone buy them some clamps that'll help make their work a little bit easier.
Especially a newly designed clamp like this, because you know it was just introduced, so chances are he's not going to already have a whole bunch of these clamps.
Oh, exactly, exactly. Well, let's see if we can help Mike out. Maybe Mike needs a clamp there. I don't know. Mike, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Hey, Danny. I appreciate y'all's show. I love it. Listen to y'all all the time. I also live in Mobile, man. I love Mobile.
Oh, is that right? Oh, well, good. Well,
yes,
well,
sir.
Just might be right around the corner from us here. I see that you sent us some pictures. I appreciate that. And you have some bricks here. The pictures are fairly close up. So tell me exactly where this is in relation to the garage.
Okay, this is my daughter's house. She lives in Mississippi. She lives close to the water. Mm-hmm. But if you was looking at her double garage doors, to the left of the garage doors is about a foot of brick. And it's pulled away from the top, probably an inch and a half, and then it, you know, just goes all the way down to the bottom. I went around back, and the brick is not cracked or anything. And I'm wondering to go to a brick mason or somebody for a foundation. I just wanted y'all's advice.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of movement. I mean, if you're looking at a gap of an inch and a half. Now, at the bottom, is it gapped or is it tight at the bottom?
It's not real tight. It's pulled away some. It's just leaning. You know what I mean?
Sure. Now, and you don't see any cracks in the face of the brick.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right. And behind the brick, then, is that a wall section there that's behind the actual brick that the bricks should be attached to?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And let me tell you, inside the garage, the ceiling has pulled away from that wall, cracked a little bit. You know, you can tell that maybe the 2x4s or the 2x6s has come loose because of that wall, just a little bit, not bad.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure is there's no way to rack those bricks back in place. Those bricks ultimately are going to have to come down. If you put a little filler strip or try to fill it in some way, it'll look a little bit better, but it's still movement is taking place. I think, Joe, I'll get your opinion on this, but I think I would take these bricks down carefully and see what's happening behind it, see if there are brick ties where they should be, see what this movement in relation to what you're seeing inside the garage. But I think I would access it here because either way, those bricks have to come down and then they'll have to be put back up. What do you think on that one, Joe?
Yeah, Mike, I was thinking the same thing as far as trying to repair this or push them back into place. There's just no way to do that. Typically, when there are usually two or three reasons why a brick veneer will pull away from a building, it's either, I guess four if you want to include the foundation has failed, but that doesn't sound like it's the case here. But either lumber shrinkage, a lot of shrinkage in lumber will pull back. Any water penetration could cause a problem, especially if any water gets behind that veneer and it can't go get out through seep holes. But one of the main reasons is insufficient wall ties, which Danny mentioned. A lot of masons just don't put in enough wall ties. And for people who don't know, wall ties are simply little corrugated pieces of metal that attach to the wall behind the brick and get set in the mortar joint. And the whole idea is as the name implies, ties it to the wall behind it. And they should be placed every three or four courses. And there's no reason to cheap out on them. They probably cost a penny a piece, so they should be more wall ties than you need. But so if you take this wall down, you might discover why it's being pulled away. And then a skilled mason would have to come back, a brick mason, to put this in and put it in correctly.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, too, because I have no idea that.
Yeah, I'm sorry there's no quick repair. We can't, just push it back and fill it in with caulk and go swimming. It'll be fine, you know.
Yeah. But,
I have taken down lots and lots of brick walls, and certainly, you know, eye protection, a cold chisel, a heavy small mallet to hit on the cold chisel. And I'll tell you also, taking an abrasive blade on a circular saw and scoring the joints, get you a dust mask, and scoring those joints will make it even easier. I mean, the best case scenario is they come down well enough that you can actually clean and reuse the brick, but sometimes bricks will be a little brittle and you can't. But if it's a fairly new house, you'll be able to find those bricks somewhere. But hopefully we've been able to help you out on this, and next time you see me in Mobile, say hello and we'll talk some more.
Hey, thank y'all so much. I love y'all show. Y'all are great guys, I tell you.
Thank you, Mike.
I appreciate that. We have a lot of fun with it and everything, Mike, and certainly admire you for helping your daughter out. I'll tell you, when your daughter has a house, you constantly want to be available to help them out any way possibly can. Hey, coming up, we're going to give you some tips. If you have a metal roof or thinking of getting a metal roof, we've got some great tips from our friends at the Metal Roofing Alliance that I'll share with you when we come back. And a simple solution is right around the corner. All of that and a whole lot more coming at you right here on today's Homeowner Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Call today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420. Danny and Joe will be right back.
Spring and summer are the perfect times of the year to put a new roof on your home, so why not choose a roof that can last more than 50 years? Metal roofs are strong and durable, even in climate extremes like wildfires and hurricanes. These roofs are low maintenance and energy efficient. Plus, metal roofs come in a variety of styles and colors to fit any home. The Metal Roofing Alliance has created a buyer's guide that walks homeowners step by step through the process of buying a metal roof. You can find the buyer's guide at metalroofing.com.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Black and green stuff growing on your roof or siding? Pick up Wet and Forget's new rapid application hose end. Now Wet and Forget No Scrub Outdoor Cleaner is even easier with a brand new nozzle that attaches to your garden hose and sprays up to 30 feet. Wet and Forget hose end quickly and easily treats surfaces you normally couldn't reach without climbing up the ladder. Each bottle cleans up to a whopping 2,000 square feet. Visit wetandforget.com to find a retailer near you. Ready to make your slippery surfaces safer, indoors and out? Deitch Coatings now brings you TrackSafe Anti-Slip Sealer, and I think it's a winner. TrackSafe is a tough, pre-mixed clear coat you can roll onto slippery concrete, stone, tile, linoleum, and painted surfaces. It brings added beauty and foot traction to steps, wet pool decks and walkways, garage and interior floors, and more. Get a grip with slip-resistant TrackSafe. Order today online through the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com. Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more. Outdoor concrete projects are quick and easy with Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag. Whether you need to set a fence post, mailbox post, or deck footing, or even pour a backyard patio, Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag makes it simple. To set a post, there's no mixing. Just pour the dry mix into the hole and add water. It sets hard in about 20 minutes and you're done. It's that fast and easy. Quikrete fast-setting concrete. Look for it in the red bag.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
Hey, so glad you're with us here on Today's Homeowner. We want to share with you a few tips about metal roofing brought to you by our friends at the Metal Roofing Alliance. You know, one of the best things about a metal roof is how low maintenance they are. You know, thanks to special coatings and paint, cleaning a metal roof is not only easy, it's more environmentally friendly, eliminating the need for any harsh chemicals. In fact, plain water can often wash away all of the dirt, dust, and other debris on a metal roof. Now, while it's a good idea to check with specific metal roofing manufacturers on what the recommended cleaning method is, a simple way to clean most metal roofs is simply to mix a quarter cup of mild detergent per gallon of water. That's it. You just apply the solution to the roof surface using either a washcloth sponge, a soft bristle brush, or a non-abrasive pad. The goal is to use the lightest touch that'll effectively do the job. Let it stand for 5 to 10 minutes, rinse the surface with plain water, and that's really all of the maintenance that you need to do. You know, you think about like washing a car. If you don't wash your car and you end up coming back and washing it once a year, well, it's a tough, tough job, but doing it every month or every few weeks, it makes it a lot easier. Same way with a metal roof. So cleaning a metal roof couldn't be easier or more trouble-free. Just remember to clean and fix any gutter issues you may have. Keep the trees and any tall shrubs trimmed back away from the roof. And then you may want to have a professional inspect your roof every few years to make sure that they can catch any small issue early. And remember to always use proper safety techniques. If you're not comfortable about getting on that roof, hire a professional to take care of it, because a wet metal roof can be a little slippery. And but there's a lot of great tips and a lot of information about the benefits of metal roofs at the Metal Roofing Alliance website. And that website is metalroofing.com. That's metalroofing.com for a lot of different answers to the questions you may have about metal roofing. So, you know, it's just every time I turn around, Joe, I'm seeing metal roofs going on neighborhoods, yep, out in the country, just everywhere. It seems to just growing and growing in popularity.
Yeah, it's you'd think it'd be more popular in the coastal regions, but I see it up here in New England, especially up in Vermont, New Hampshire, where they get a lot of snow, and you want to get that snow off a roof quickly. Well, there you go, with a metal roof, it comes sliding off. There's almost no region in this country where you're not installing metal roofs.
Exactly. Let's go back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Steve is on the line from Indiana. Steve, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Well, thank you. How are you doing?
We're great.
Oh, we're just doing fine, but we're hearing a lot of problems in different houses. I understand you've got a little sinking issue.
Yes, I do. The back patio's basically just a cement slab, mm-hmm, but next to the house, it's sinking down, and the step that we have to come out is also, you know, at an angle now. Mm-hmm. So we pretty much stopped using that sliding door to go outside now. Mm-hmm. And our front porch actually is going down also. Also, it's sinking down.
Yeah.
Away from the house.
I see. Well, you know, we hear a lot about this. We also hear a lot about where your driveway comes up to your garage and it's slipping down and things like this.
And I got that too.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens, and this is such a shame so many times, that builders kind of let their guard down when, you know, they get the house built, they get it all inspected, they get the foundation, they get reinforcement wire and rebar and all of this for the house. That's good. That's important. But then they let their guard down when it comes time to pour the garage, or rather pour the sidewalk, or pour, you know, some of the porches and so forth. Maybe they don't compact it enough, which is often the case. So you pour heavy concrete on there and almost immediately it starts sinking. Another thing from a maintenance standpoint, it is so critical, is anytime you have a cold joint, which is where you have concrete poured at two different times and you'll have a small joint there. So you probably had the exact same thing between the porch and the house. And what happens, that water gets in there, you may get some snow in there, you know, and it's going to deteriorate the integrity of that foundation that you have there, and it's going to sink, and that's just inevitable. So if that had been caulked, that might have been able to solve that problem. But the problem is, it's really almost impossible to raise that back up in a reasonable way. I know there's a lot of foundation companies that you see advertising all over the country that can kind of actually pump foam under it and it raises it back up. And I have seen that works very well, but boy, it's pretty expensive. And Joe, I don't know on a porch situation like that whether or not it would even be worth that kind of expense.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Steve, but yeah, it's some different parts of the country call it different things. Sometimes it's called mud jacking or slab jacking.
Yeah.
And they drill holes in the slab and they pump either under high pressure mortar or, as Danny said, foam, expanding polyurethane foam. And it does. It's like magic. Suddenly you see as the foam expands, it just raises up the slab. The problem is, if the soil underneath is settling, next year you might find it dropping down again. And the reason it usually happens near the house is because water's collecting there. I would call in and at least get a price for the mud jacking or slab jacking, whatever they call it in Indiana, and just see if it's something they could fix. Otherwise, I'm not sure what else you could do, but pull it out, you know, have a contractor just pull the whole thing out and do it correctly the second time.
Boy, I wish we had a better news for you on that one, Steve. It's just one of those things that once it starts settling down, there's not a lot you can do to reverse that process. But we do have some information on foundation issues and how to solve them at todayshomeowner.com. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. And right now, Joe has teed up a brand new simple solution he's going to share with you right after this break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Four.
The Home Depot is cooking up new ways to start summer here and bring summer home. From online ordering to free delivery and convenient store pickup, we're helping make sure taking care of your summer projects is a breeze. And summer savings on all your favorite brands make things even easier. So freshen up the deck, fire up the grill. Summer's here, and it's as close as your own backyard. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com. Looking for easy home improvements? Instantly refresh the look of your bathroom by changing the grill on your bath fan or by adding one with a decorative light. If your mirror stays foggy after a shower, it's time for a new bath fan altogether. The Braun Upgrade Kit lets you convert your bath fan to a new one in less than 10 minutes. In the kitchen, consider replacing your range hood with a Braun under cabinet hood. It's so easy to install, you don't even need a contractor. Learn more at Braun.com. Braun New Tone, come home to fresh air.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
And so glad you're with us here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. If you're just tuning in, you're tuning in at a really good time because right now my buddy Joe is going to share with us another simple solution.
All right, Danny, but before I give you this new simple solution, I want to correct something I said last week. I think it was just last week. I gave a simple solution how to clean produce. Clean pesticides off of produce using baking soda and water. Yeah. And I misspoke. I don't know what I was thinking about, but I was staring at Danny and I couldn't gather my thoughts correctly. And what you want to do is mix 1/4 cup of baking soda into a sink full of water, a kitchen sink full of 1/4 cup. I think I said 1/4 of baking soda. So it's just 1/4 cup of baking soda.
Oh.
If you used 1/4, it won't, you know, it's just wasteful. It's not going to harm you. So again, that's 1/4 cup of baking soda into a sink full of water.
I did that, and my grapes tasted so weird.
Really?
They had like a coating on them. So
that would take the skin right off the grapes. So, so let's get to the new one. Here's this is a pretty timely one. This is if you've got a drought-stricken lawn, like most of us do, or will be very soon as we get into the really the dog days of summer. 5 tips for helping your lawn survive a prolonged drought. Number 1 is dethatch. And if you don't know what dethatching is, you can look it up on online, but it's essentially you can either rent the tool or they make dethatching rakes, but unless you have a really tiny yard, you're better off just renting a tool. It has like these flexible tines that just rake the thatch, which is dead material sitting on the soil below, you know, just at the surface that could help, you know, make the grass more difficult to grow. Aerate. Again, rent an aerator and punch holes in your lawn to let nutrients and water down into the soil. And mow as necessary. Don't over-mow. Don't mow too short, obviously. And often in the middle of a drought, you don't have to mow at all, but mow as necessary. And don't bag the clippings. You know, let those clippings, especially if you have a mulching mower, is the best way. Let them sit on the surface because they have full of nutrients and moisture. And finally, try to avoid excessive traffic, either foot traffic or equipment traffic, meaning driving back and forth across the lawn during a drought. Those five tips will help. You might not have the greenest lawn in the neighborhood, but at least it'll help it survive. So when you finally do get some rain, it'll be ready to flourish and get lush and green again.
Oh, that's great. Good tips and timely because, as Joe mentioned, you know, the hot time and the things that really, the type of weather that really test grass is right around the corner. So that works out very, very well. I tell you, the grass I put in my yard in my new house, I don't understand. Some of it's been down 9 weeks and I just mowed it for the second time yesterday. I mean, it grows so, but it's just beautiful and, but it just grows so slow. And I mean, I've been watering it almost every day.
You're getting into the rainy season, though, in your neck of the woods, right? So you might have to mow a little more often. We'll see.
Of course,
that's good. That's a nice problem to have.
Of course, in 1 month, I watered it twice a day, and I filled up my swimming pool, my new swimming pool and hot tub. And then I also just wrote a check for $425 for my water bill.
What would your water bill ordinarily be, like if you didn't
maybe
have the pool?
$40 or $50 bucks, you know. So I'm ready for the rainy season.
Good.
This will pretty much wrap up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. And if you're listening to a radio station that doesn't carry the second hour, don't worry about it. Head over to todayshomeowner.com so that you don't miss a thing. And don't forget about our very popular podcast, Today's Homeowner Podcast. It's available wherever you download your podcast or at todayshomeowner.com/podcast. I'm Danny Lippert along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thank you so much for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.